May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Earlier this week, I was out walking my dog, and I met a neighbor of mine coming the other way with her own dog. We started to talk, and I noticed that her t-shirt had a really big slogan across the front of it. It said, hashtag blessed. Later on, in the same week, I was driving home from meeting with an old friend, and I was stopped at a red light outside a church building. And the very fancy black car next to me that looked brand new had a license plate. And it said, BL388ED. Blessed. God was making it pretty obvious to me this week. I can't help but continue to notice how this very particular idea of being blessed comes up in life. My friends and I just dropped children off at college, and one says to me, she's so blessed to be going to a really good university. Or the conversation that I overheard in the coffee shop, where a woman mentioned that she had just come back from a mission trip to Guatemala. And she was saying to her friends how blessed we are to live in the United States. I know many people who talk about being blessed in this way, and from time to time, I myself have talked about being blessed in this way. I believe it does come from a really good place. You see, we're trying to recognize the gifts that we have in our lives. And it's true that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But there is this nagging theological issue with this way of declaring blessedness. What if you don't have a shiny new car? What if you can't afford to send your children to college? Does that make you hashtag not blessed? This error makes a mistake. It mistakes the state of being privileged with the state of being blessed. Its inherent assumption is that when we get material things or we gain a social status, that these are indicators of our status with God. Blessed. In the act of publicly proclaiming this perception of our blessed status through hashtags, t-shirts, personalized license plates, and social media posts, we fail to truly engage with what the gospel tells us about being blessed. When Jesus looked at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you." This is not blessed are you who are middle class in one of the richest countries in the world. Nor is it blessed are you who have enough money to purchase that shiny new car. The very people the Bible tells us are blessed are experiencing situations that we would prefer not to be in. They are poor or hungry or sorrowful or neglected. These are the blessed. In the loud cacophony of my week hearing and seeing people proclaiming blessed status, I did happen to hear the word very quietly in quite a different place. I was walking through Carytown through the heat and the sun back to my car, which was several blocks away, and I almost missed it. There was an older man sitting on the pavement of the sidewalk at one of the street corners. I did almost miss him completely. His chocolate-colored skin was glistening in the heat, and as I looked down, I realized he was sitting cross-legged in a very odd way, because half of one of his legs was completely missing. What caught my attention first, though, was his voice. He quietly spoke to people as they were passing. "Excuse me," he kept saying, as person after person walked by without responding. "Excuse me, miss," he said to me. "Could you spare me some money or some food?" As I handed him some bills from my purse, he looked me right in the eye and he said, "God bless you." I, of course, responded, "God bless you." And I paused for a long moment because I remembered these Beatitudes. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And I nearly missed out on the quiet blessing of this man. He was so low to the ground, and he was so whispery. He would not have been invited to the dinner party that Jesus finds himself at. But he fits the description of someone that Jesus and the Gospels consistently refer to as blessed. At the Sabbath feast in today's gospel, Jesus is watching the people in the room really closely. He sees what they're doing. They are jockeying for position, and they are searching for ways to publicly display their social status. Who is sitting where at this party? Who has the highest seat? Who has the closest access to the rich and the powerful? Who is wearing the best clothes, and who gets to drink the best wine? And who maybe has overstepped and reached too far? Jesus tells the guests a parable and provides this ironic warning of sheer and total role reversal. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He follows this warning by addressing their hosts with another parable, one about a wedding banquet. When we host a feast in our homes or at our altars, who have we invited to the banquet? Have we invited our relatives and people we know? Have we invited our rich neighbors? Have we invited people we already know from society and people we're really comfortable with and people who make us happy? As we look around our tables and see the people who are here, do we also remember the people who aren't? Jesus sees not only the guests and the hosts of the party he attended. Jesus sees the absence of the people who weren't included at the party at all. Where are the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind? These are the people of the kingdom. "Do you want to be blessed by God?" he says. "Invite them. Eat with them. Include and serve people who can't pay you back, and you will be blessed and repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The poverty threshold in America for a family of four is about $24,000 a year. One in every eight adults in this country lives in poverty, and one in every five children. The poverty rates for Native Americans, Blacks, and Hispanics are twice that of whites and Asians. And 6% of the population live in what is referred to as deep poverty, with incomes below half of the poverty threshold. About 15 million households in America have difficulty providing food for all the people who live in the house. And in the city of Richmond, our statistics are even worse. 25% of the population of Richmond lives below the poverty line, 40% of children. Now, to give you an idea of how these statistics track down in real life, I find them kind of hard at these big nebulous levels of 15 million this and percentages of that. We usually get around 95 people a Sunday here at POCO. And if we were statistically representative of Richmond, on any given Sunday, 23 adults here would be living below poverty. And 5 of our children. People sitting in the seats around you, living in poverty. These people aren't poor because they are lacking in faith or because God has rejected them. In fact, these are the people Jesus calls blessed. If Jesus is calling these people blessed, I suspect that the truth is that he would call us burdened. Burdened by our privilege. Because I expect Jesus would be asking us some questions. What are you doing with it? Do you use it to focus even more on yourselves and celebrate the things that you have? Do you use it to shine a light into the darkness? Do you share it? Do you do something to help heal the world? The good news of Christ is not that we are hashtag blessed by our material possessions and social status. It's that we worship a God who welcomes every single one of us to the feast. Everyone. And he fills the hungry with good things. We could do well to go into the world and do likewise. Amen.